This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 26th, episode 858. Good morning, horse people.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. Jamie, you posted the cutest picture yesterday of your little baby Lucas taking his first horseback ride.
His first solo ride, you are correct. We put him on that big giant steed all by himself. He's almost nine months old, and I let go, and he was able to cling to the horse all by himself. Of course, we are talking about...
How quickly they come from not being able to hold their head up to that.
I know, it's crazy. Now, of course, we are talking about his Rockin' Rider pony. It sings when you squeeze the ear. So it wasn't like I put him on Jet and turned him loose. It was his own. But it was for the first time I – go away. Sorry, I have a dog, like, trying to get attention. It was the first time I ever was able to, like, set him on the horse and then go back and take a picture because his little leg just wrapped right around it. His form was fantastic. His posture was perfect. His heel was underneath his hip. I couldn't have been more pleased.
And he was in his little onesie, which was...
Of course. Of course he was. Yeah, it was
Does he
really,
ever
really
leave
fun.
The onesie? Does the onesie stay on like 3/4 of the day?
The onesie, the magic of the onesie, Glenn, is that children who can't walk roll around on the ground, and if you don't have a onesie on, the T-shirt rides up the back, and it's like they're naked all the time because they don't have any clothes on because it keeps riding up. So the onesie, I have about 400 of them, and we just constantly rotate.
That's funny. Well, he is the cutest baby ever, I have to say. And I don't say that lightly because, I don't talk about babies that much. So I don't say that lightly. He is very cute.
Thank you. I look at him, Glenn, and I look at my friend's kids because I now kind of have a little network of women that kind of have kids all relatively close to his age within a month or two either way. And I look at their children, and I'm like, I win. I freaking win. My kid is so much cuter than everybody's.
I hope they don't listen to the show.
It doesn't matter. They must know. They must know. They're like, they must go home and be like, God, our kid's awesome, but man, Jamie's kid is so cute.
That's funny. Jennifer, we got a lot to do today, don't we?
We do. On today's Wednesday edition, we welcome Road to the Horse sponsor Cashel to the show, and Cashel General Manager Tony Lang is here for a little get-to-know-you chat. And then next up, Elisa Wallace is on the road with her Mustangs, Rune and Fledge, and she's stopping by to tell us about their most recent adventures coming up. And cresting the hill of hump day, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge welcomes Julie Goodnight. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, that's good that Elisa's going to be here because you can run your idea by her of getting yourself a Mustang for eventing. She's perfect.
The
perfect
greatest
timing.
Greatest idea. Greatest idea ever. Perfect timing. It was actually in the works before. It was like something is telling me to do it. Okay?
It's an omen. It's an omen. It's a destiny. It's your destiny to own a jumping Mustang.
I'm going to do it. I got to do it. We'll see. I might get divorced. We'll see. Let's figure it out.
A very simple Daily Winnie today. My Daily Winnie goes out to listeners Dawn Deans and Candace Ware because of this. Happy birthday to the both of you. I hope you have a terrific, happy day. Give your horses a hug for us.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. I don't know what to do. First of all, first thing is, just so you guys know, there's if you go to what's called paintnite.com, you can go to a paint class at a bar and drink wine and take a painting class and paint a beautiful portrait from paintnite.com. I did it last night for the first time with a bunch of girlfriends, and it was a blast. And I posted the picture on my Facebook page. I'll try to get it up on the Horses in the Morning page. But go check it out, Glenn. That's paintnite.com. If you guys haven't heard of it, just go to paintnite.com and put your area, and they'll tell you what bars are teaching lessons right around you. And it was super fun, and it was a bunch of us girls who got together and did that. So,
Can I interrupt here a second? I'm looking at your picture, which I hadn't seen before, and all of you did a picture of the same thing. It was all a picture of a wine glass. Or an alcohol glass of some sort. Yeah. But I want to know why yours was so much larger. Your glass was so much larger than everybody else's.
You know, the comment was made that we were supposed to do this martini glass, and it's like picked, but you could do whatever you wanted. So if a couple girls did wine glasses or whatever, I don't know exactly why I felt the need to do a martini glass that was clearly 9 gallons. I don't know. It just came out that way, and I went with it because if you're going to have a martini, might as well be huge, right? It's ridiculously big. I don't know why I didn't mean to do that. It just came out that way. That's just my free hand, okay? It's beautiful. It's art.
It's quite good because you can tell what it is, and you got the olives in there and everything. I mean, it's quite good, but you would definitely be crawling home if you had drank out of that glass.
I know. Everybody else's was more sensible, but it's art, and it's up to your own interpretation. And I interpreted a very large glass. Anyway, so that's one of them. I have one more Facebook, one more Daily Winnie.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry.
Help me off.
So this is hilarious. So over the weekend, there was a clinic, George Morris Clinic, going on in the, I think it's Aiken area, and George Morris taught riders all the upper-level event riders. And when you ride with George Morris, it doesn't matter who you think you are going to get basically crushed. So George Morris was teaching the lesson, and it was like Philip Dutton, Kaylin Silliman, Will Coleman, Boyd Martin, all of these guys rode with George Morris. And on Eventing Nation, they posted Lila Gindel. Actually, Kate Samuels, I believe, posted the whole entire clinic. She went and watched it, and it's hilarious. To the point where I guess one of the things that George Morris says to everybody is keep your heels down. And that's the most important thing. And so she went on to write, as the warm-up progressed, it became clear that the next principle that George was obsessed with was having their heels down. He was, and this is where the Daily Winnie comes in, I'm giving it to George Morris because he, Dutton, who do you think can tell Philip Dutton to keep his heels down? Seriously?
There's only one person in the world.
One person in the world, and I salute you, George Morris, told Philip Dutton not once, but twice to put his heels down. I love that. I loved it. And the reason he says if a basic is violated, there will always be a consequence to pay. You can't have hands before you have legs, and that's why I'm very fixated on leg position and weight in the heel. He explained that an independent upper body and thus the hands comes from a secure lower leg, which is all based in the weight of the heel, and so the position comes from one single base. One of the things he did, and I'm going to have to find it here because he told Aaron Sylvester, which is also a very accomplished upper-level event rider, he said, either break your ankle or I'll come and break it for you. Because I guess she was having a hard time with the heels down thing.
Oh.
I love him. I love him. I love him. Philip Dutton, keep your heels down. Seriously? And apparently, by the end of the time, Philip's equitation was much improved from people that were there.
You know, and Phillips probably told his students that 20 million times over his life.
I bet he doesn't even say that anymore. I mean, I say heels down. I teach children, tiny children.
He has a point, though. George has a point, though, is you do forget about the basics, don't you? Sometimes you say it so often to other people that you yourself just assume that you're doing it and you forget about it.
I know. It's amazing. And just to be called out and to call out Philip Dutton, like Olympian extraordinaire, heels down. I think that's awesome. So my daily win goes to George Morris because he's better.
Well, there you go. He certainly does. He doesn't hold back, does he? Problem there.
Makes me very happy. Makes me happy.
Hey, you were looking at buying a horse and you were talking about a Mustang. Well, I got to tell you, anybody out there that is looking to get a well-broke, absolutely bomb-proof, can put up with anything horse, there's going to be some coming up for sale on Saturday. We had talked about the fact that Arabian Nights Dinner Theater here in Orlando had closed as of January 1st. Well, they posted this on their Facebook page yesterday to our fans and followers. We are ready to find Arabian Nights' beloved horses' new homes. Stay tuned for the list of horses that will be for sale starting March the 1st. The list will be posted this Saturday morning. Spread the word. Follow their Facebook page if you're interested. Just look for Arabian Nights Florida.
Andalusians, right? They have some Andalusians mixed in there, right?
Now, well, it said, when I read a couple of the articles about this, it said, as for the horses, some will be sold, others will go to his farm in Claremont. So I'm assuming, see, he breeds them, so I'm assuming that some of the Andalusians might go back to his own farm and he'll keep them, but he might be selling some Saturday morning. Get on there, find the list. I don't know whether they're going to be asking big dollars for these horses, but can you imagine? These horses have done that dinner show for a long time. They are going to be well broke. Well broke horses.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad that they're going to find them good homes, and if they're not, they're going to go back to his home and live life in the retired lane. So that's cool.
And the other thing is I wanted to mention, we brought this up. Remember I talked about the fact that they were having the largest payout ever for a draft horse show of $100,000. It was called the Gentle Giants Invitational Draft Horse Show down in Texas. Well, they did it over the weekend. And, you know, I'm only bringing this up for one reason, is everybody that listens to the show knows I'm a Percheron guy. I love Percherons. They're my favorite draft horse. They're actually my favorite horse, period. And I'm happy to report that the number one place for who won $60,000 was a gray Percheron hitch from Ames Construction in Jordan, Minnesota, placed first for $60,000. And then coming in second was Shining Star Percherons from Pleasant Hill, Iowa. They placed for $25,000. And then some Belgians came in third. So, but it was Percherons, Belgians. Just pointing that out.
Glenn, for Percherons to be your favorite horse, now that the world, because it has over 1 million views, has seen your pony, you couldn't be further away from a dang Percheron with your tiny little hackney pony.
I know. I do like ponies and draft horses. They're my two favorite things.
Oh, my God. Dang, congratulations on cresting 1 million views on your pony rolling in the in the water. So cute, and I can't believe the amount. I did notice that, remember the lady who commented on My Little Pony's video? I think the reason the horse does it is because he's bored and he needs blah, blah, blah. And then I said, oh, poor little pony that lives in a giant grassy field with his friends. Like, ridiculous. This woman's ridiculous. Well, she got ripped a new one, like 100 different ways.
I know. And the moral of the story, I guess, is you don't pick on the listener's favorite little pony, because they will attack you with a vengeance.
Yeah. Venomous attacks. And I might have gone online and participated in that. I'm just saying.
Well, thank you for defending My Little Pony. Let's go to our guest here, our first guest, because I want to welcome him. I'm so excited. I've got to meet him at ADA, when we were there a couple of weeks ago, and we have, Jennifer and I have known this company for 20 years, and we've been using their products and used to sell their products, and we absolutely love the company, and I was thrilled to get to meet Tony Lang, General Manager of Cashel, who we want to welcome as a Road to the Horse sponsor. Of course, Road to the Horse is coming up. We'll be there doing live coverage of Road to the Horse. We'll be coming to you right from the Kentucky Horse Park. And that is being made possible thanks to the generous support of Cashel. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. Hey,
thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. I know you're on the road. Are you going someplace good?
I am. I've been in South Florida for the last few days visiting some of our stores and saying thank you for their business. And I'm headed across the Tamiami Trail right now, or Alligator Alley, this morning. Headed towards Naples.
Well,
wow.
you do know how to do it, because you could be right now visiting stores in Minnesota, but instead you have made the sacrifice to come to Florida in the heat and visit the stores down here. I congratulate you, Tony, on your dedication.
It's a dirty job, you know, but someone's got to do it. Every once in a while, I volunteer.
Tony, tell us. When I was reading a little bit about Cashel, we started selling your products when we had our tax store, and of course we've used your fly masks for years. And but tell me, I didn't realize that when Cashel first started back in 86 that you guys were more on the English side.
Primarily English. The company began making foam English pads, saddle pads, which morphed into wedges, reverse wedges, for the dressage and jumper communities. Then we moved from some English foam pads into a Western pad, and people came to us with needs. And so what we've tried to do throughout the history is come up with a solution to help people through issues.
If you are a rider, you have Cashel stuff. I mean, the dressage cushion pad is what I use in dressage, and there is no better fly mask than Cashel's mask. I mean, sadly, I know a lot of listeners are going to be really mad about this, Tony, is that I live in Arizona, and we're already in fly mask season. It is not, there's no snow here. And you have to, living in Arizona, have the Crusader fly mask with the long nose, because their little noses get sunburned here in Arizona, and all my horses are already wearing theirs. They're the only ones that last. They live forever. You guys, you made too good of a product, because I've had the same ones for years.
Well, thank you. That's what we try to do. We send some of our product to Arizona. I've got a daughter that lives in the Queen Creek area. And,
oh, wow.
And so you've got intense heat and flies, dust, and they have to survive. If they don't survive,
yeah.
why are we buying that product, right?
Right. Yeah, they really do. And I've tried other ones, and you got to go for it. You know, maybe it's a couple bucks more, but that's because it lasts forever. And I think we're on our third season now, and these guys wear it in these directest of direct sunlight and dry conditions, and they really last. And I was glad when Glenn was going to have you on, because I was going to just thank you for that, because it's a fantastic product.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. You know, with the fly mask comes another solution product, is like our fly leg guards.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
Especially in Arizona, where those horses are standing and stomping, that leg guard protector that we designed has really done well and saves a lot of ponies, you know, the stomp and the loose shoe and all the things that come with that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, now, Tony,
I have a fly sheet.
Yeah, and one of the other things you're known for, too, and have had for a long time, is the protective wear, the boots, and everything in that vein. And you're making your way around South Florida, so I know you're talking a little bit to the dressage people and the stores down there that are English as well. But, you know, when we were over at the stand, one of the things that really jumped out at me, and one of the things, I know we have a ton of listeners who trail ride, is you really do cater a lot now to the trail riding market.
Absolutely. I think that is probably, well, without a doubt, that's the largest, fastest growing facet of the equine business today, and it's not because that's not why we go into that market, but it's because that's who kind of where we came from. We came from English, but we've morphed into kind of the Trail Essential Company.
You have the trail kit. One of the things that I picked up right away when we saw you out there was the trail kit, because it's so comprehensive. I love that thing.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Cashel was headquartered in Washington until November of 2005, when we moved to Texas to join our corporate brothers and sisters. But when we were in Washington, Washington's a huge trail rider state. And with all the state parks that are in that state, you needed a trail map so that you could find your way around. So the trail kit just became a natural. You could print the map, insert it in the plastic-coated sleeve, and now you've got a direction map so that you know where to go, where you're at. Coupled with the GPS, you're all over it.
Yeah, and this trail kit allows you to put, you know, hoof picks and flashlights and your keys and your phone. I mean, it's actually a pocketed device that you attach to your saddle. But one of the things, you can tell it was designed by riders, because one of the things it's really meant to do is the trailer kit is meant to be accessed while you're riding with one hand. So you can reach back, you can get the map, you can get your phone, you can get anything out of this, sunscreen, whatever you have, you know, a power bar, whatever you have in your trailer kit, you can get with one hand, and it's right there attached to your saddle. So cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And along with the trail kit, a camel bag or a pommel bag or a traditional old-fashioned saddle bag, we make those too for our trail riding family.
And then Jamie will remember this and might not remember that it was Cashel that did it, but on this very show, we might have had a little fun at your expense when you came out with the Daddle saddle. We might have had just a little fun with that. Just saying.
Well, that's really funny, because we were interviewed by another station on the Daddle, and it was on television. I think it was one of the morning shows. Anyway, after we did that interview, I bet we had 700 inquiries that day via phone and email on where do they get the Daddle saddle. Oh my, that's been a fun product.
Now, was that something you just designed as a joke, or was it a real product, or was it a joke product that ended up a real product? How did that one come about?
Some of both, to be honest. You know, when we were younger and our kids were in that 1 and 2 year old bracket, before we were really confident putting them on a horse, everybody that's had a child or a niece or a nephew has been requested, can you get on your knees, Papa or Uncle Bill, and give me a pony ride? Well, that's where it began. And so it went from kind of a, well, let's try it and see, to, wow, in May and in November, those sales skyrocket and Father's Day, because people want to offer their in-laws or friends for their first child that little saddle, daddle saddle that they can let little Joey jump on and ride around the living room.
And it actually goes on Dad, which is perfect thing for Father's Day, is to make you cart the kids around for 6 hours.
Oh, funny.
Nothing shows love like that, huh, Jamie?
Absolutely.
I think it's awesome. I was thinking it's a pony for, it's a saddle for, you know, horses and little kids, but no, it goes on Dad. That makes a lot more sense now. Fantastic, and I can tell you what my husband will be getting for his birthday or Father's Day, whichever comes next. Definitely the Daddle saddle, because I have a 9-month-old, Tony, and this is going to be perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a fun item.
That's great.
Well, Tony, you have so many different products. People can find them at cashelcompany.com. That's C-A-S-H-E-L for the two people living under a rock that haven't run into your products before. And we're very excited. We're going to be heading off to Road to the Horse here in a couple of weeks now. It's not too far away. It's on the weekend of the 13th of March. And we're going to be doing our Friday morning show from there. And you guys have agreed to sponsor that. And we really appreciate your support and your sponsorship this will be our first trip as Horses in the Morning to Road to the Horse. And what an amazing, it's like the Super Bowl of horse training now in America.
Absolutely. These guys are phenomenal. It's a great event. They take animals and do some amazing stuff with them. We look forward to being a sponsor, and we're tickled to death to be part of your team.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. It's good to meet you, and have fun bebopping around warm Florida.
Awesome. Thank you, guys, and happy
Thanks,
trails.
Thanks, Tony. You too.
Happy trails, Tony.
All right.
What a super nice guy. We met him at ADA. I spent like an hour talking to him. He's just a super nice guy who just has developed all these products and just enjoys what he does. You can tell talking to him.
Yeah, that is awesome. And you didn't talk to me about the Daddle Saddle. I'm checking this out online for the first time. It must have been on day I wasn't here.
It was a long time ago. I remember it came up in the news, and it was on a morning show. It was like the Today Show or Good Morning America, and it really hit the news big time, and we were just making fun of it. I can't believe it wasn't you, because it would have been something you would have made fun of pre-child.
Oh, definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. Now I'm like, that's a good idea.
Let's get him to ride Dad around.
I know.
Wear him out. Let's take a break and hear about Road to the Horse. We're going to come back. We have more guests and lots more fun here for you on Horses in the Morning.
Don't miss Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th through the 16th for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Klo from Switzerland, Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. They all face off to see who will walk away with the title of world champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy our largest shopping experience yet. Find out more at roadtothehorse.com.
Well, and we are excited to be going, so if you're anywhere in the area and you are going to Road to the Horse, let us know. We're going to have a booth there. We'd love to meet our listeners there. Well, Jennifer is getting our next guest lined up. You had a racing story about Wise Dan.
My boyfriend he's back in action. He is back in action, and he's at Keeneland, which just makes me realize, yet again, for the, 2 years ago I did it, I'm going to have to do it again this year, is I'm going to have to stalk Wise Dan, because he is, his home base is Keeneland, and when we go to Rolex, you know, the last couple days of Keeneland is the days of dressage, and so the last couple days of being able to see him in his stall or stalking him and his trainer / owner or whatever, it's going to happen this time. I was basically, you know, I wouldn't say asked to leave Keeneland, but it was strongly suggested that I make my way back to the track and get out of the barns. So I'm going to do it this year, though. I'm going to find Wise Dan, and I'm going to pet his nose. It's going to happen. He's at Keeneland. He's back in action. He got clocked yesterday, I believe. Or 2 days ago, went back to work. So he's galloping at Keeneland every morning. So they are hoping that he's going to have a season debut on April 11th, the Makers 46-mile stakes. It's a graded stakes race at Keeneland. So good luck to Wise Dan, and I'm going to find you. If anybody knows what Barney's in, let me know.
Could you please let me know ahead of the trip to Rolex, because we're both going to be there. Jennifer will be there. We're all going to be together for the first time in a long time. Could you please let me know ahead of time if you plan on being that girl so I can make sure I have enough bail money in the account?
Yes, I'm going to be that girl. So you might as well start preparing now.
Okay.
I love him. I love that chestnut. He's my favorite. So I need to go find him. He needs to know. Well, I love him.
Let's take this opportunity to say that we've just confirmed we are going to be doing a couple live shows from Rolex. I know that our listeners like when we come from there. We didn't get to do it last year because you were busy having babies and we were busy moving, so we didn't get there, but we will be back again this year. And a couple of our listeners have written to me that are going to Rolex, and we're asking about a meetup. So we might have to try and figure out one of the evenings to try and do a meetup with the listeners, too.
Yes, and I am so excited. The woman I bought, our listener who I bought Duke from, our horse, Betty Faye, is actually going to be there, and I've never even met her. I bought this horse basically sight unseen, just saw some videos of him and bought him, and he's been fantastic. So she said she's going to be there. I'm so excited to meet her.
Oh, good. Yeah, and I know a lot of our other listeners that are regulars are going to be there. We're going to try and work out. I have to talk to Jamie, and we'll try and work out one of the evenings. Maybe we can get together at the hotel. Speaking of which, I wanted to mention that, too, that we are working with the Clarion Hotel to get you guys special rates. If you're planning on going to Rolex or if you were just kind of thinking about it, you can get $99 room rates for listeners of the Horse Radio Network. There's only a few left, so you have to call. You can't go to the website. The website shows the hotel is sold out. The only things that aren't sold out are our block of rooms. So it's $99. You can't beat that rate in Lexington for the quality hotel it is. They have a bourbon bar there. They have a southern restaurant there. They
Great
have a big
breakfast.
Pool area there. But yeah, they have a big pool area, too. It's quite large, actually. They have breakfast. Yep, they have breakfast there. So definitely check it out. You have to call in. This is very important. If you call to get the room, you call and you say you're calling for the Rolex Experience package. You're calling about the Rolex Experience, and then they'll give you the $99 room rate for the entire. You can stay the entire weekend. So we're hoping that we're hoping to see a lot of our listeners staying there as well.
Be awesome.
And I think Jennifer is having a little trouble with Lisa at this point. I don't know if she's on the road or what. So we can do a couple of other things in the meantime here.
I found just something for you.
Okay.
I found something very exciting for you, Glenn. There is a home in Florida that is for sale, and it's in Wellington. And, you know, maybe it's something that you or one of our listeners wants to move into.
We haven't moved in 6 months, so why not?
I know. It's only a four-stall barn. Okay, there's only four stalls. They do have a tack room and a fly system, so you're pretty much covered. There are four paddocks and just a modest barn and area for your horses. However, the home is the second largest home in Florida's equestrian capital of Wellington. It's on the market for $7.9 million. It's 15,000 square feet. Okay, 15,000 square feet. It does have a four-stall barn, 1,500 square foot guest home. The house has an elevator. It has lighted tennis courts. It is called an equestrian retreat. They say it's the perfect mix of casual luxury and privacy, yet close enough to the amenities in Wellington. 10 acres, 9 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, gourmet kitchens, grand master bedroom with a French stone outdoor lounge and fireplace, formal dining room, 2 living rooms, outdoor summer kitchen, game room, exercise room, 7 fireplaces, because you need those in South Florida.
Florida, yeah.
4-car garage, oversized pool with waterfalls and manicured gardens. It can be yours again for the bargain price of $7.9 million. All you have to do is get a hold of Colesville Bankers, Anita Lamberti, and she is the one selling it. So go buy, Glenn. Put in a bid.
I'm looking at pictures. This is the kind of place it is. The entire driveway is paved with bricks, bricks.
Yeah, it's laid with bricks. It's not paved. It is hand-laid bricks. Talk about it. Would that kill your ADD right there? Like, oh, my God, that brick's out of place. Like, would it?
Wow, that is some place. And the house is, I don't know, 2 people in 15,000 square feet is kind of tight, don't you think?
It's tight. It's tight. Yeah, you're right. We need something bigger. We need
and
the
then
large
if you come to visit,
well.
There's 3 more. We need a baby's room. I don't know. Might be a little small. It's only 11
you're
bathrooms.
Right. You're right. Forget it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget the whole thing.
We're going to have to wait for a bigger one to show up. We definitely have to wait. No question about it.
Yeah.
Hey, the good folks at New Bolton, who I know you know who they are, it is a vet clinic that's in near Philadelphia and in the heart of horse country there in Chester County, Pennsylvania. And the good folks at New Bolton have come up with a new way to get sperm into an egg. And I wish I understood any of what this article talked about, but it's basically a new way to impregnate an egg and to get it back into the host mare. All right, that's all I think we have to say about that topic because I don't understand the rest. But anyway, it's the first one they've actually got to work, and it's extra special. The mayor actually lives at New Bolton, and they decided that because this is so neat and so unique and so special, that they're going to set up a foal cam, and they're going new media on us with this, and they're going to put a foal cam in, and they're having people write in about guess the time and the date and everything that the foal's going to be. And then they're going to have a foal naming contest for the foal. And I don't know if this mare is actually owned by, must be actually owned by Penn State, but or Penn, rather. Penn. So it's Penn Vet is who is doing it. And you can go to their website. Just go to vet.upenn.edu, and we'll put a link to it as well on our webpage. But you can go to the foal cam, and you can actually watch the baby being born in a very safe place to do that, New Bolton.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that we would be excited to watch that means that you are a horse person. And there is a new list it came from americasbestracing.net, of 20 ways you can spot a horse person. And some of these are so obvious that it doesn't even seem strange to me. You know, like, of course we're going to be walking around and with hay in our hair. It's just the way it goes. That happens. So we've got the list. I'll go through a couple of them. You know you can spot a horse person when they're the person outside the barn, the bar, like you go into a pub, and before you go in, like, check my hair for hay. Do I have any hay in my hair? Just get it out for me. Their cars have bumper stickers that read, my thoroughbred can beat up your blank, you know, whatever, anything. They are the people in the store who are wearing breeches or half chaps. Isn't that true? When you go into a grocery store and you see somebody in any sort of, I look at people's shoes. Like, are they in paddock boots? They must be riders.
Well,
and then I want to go talk to them.
You know, it was interesting. We went to the grocery store here that is off of Route 27, which is north of town. And anybody that knows anything about winter time in Ocala knows that that's Hunter Jumper area. From there up is all Hunter Jumpers here for hits. Well, when we went to the grocery store the other night, we were the only two in the store that didn't have riding pants on.
No.
Everybody else had riding pants
on. Bunch of tourists.
Everybody.
That's so funny. Yeah, you have riding pants or the out here, something that you see a lot is, and it's number four, is they don't seem to notice that they jingle when they walk. A lot of Western riders out here that wear those big old spurs, and it's like, you know, man walks into a bar, ching, 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 ching.
I have a question
you hear
about
that everywhere.
I have a question about this wearing the spurs all the time, and they always wear the roweled spurs, right? You know, so the ones with little, you know, rowel on them. So how do you drive your car with the spurs sticking into your floorboard?
I guess they sit more upright. They drive big trucks. They got plenty of space. They don't have cars.
Wouldn't it bother you? I mean, it would bother me having that old spur in there ripping the carpet up.
You know, when I have just my tiny little English spurs on, I can't wear them for a long time because say I need to bend down and get something, my spur hits me in the butt, and I hate that.
Imagine a round spur.
I know, right? I know. When you talk to a horse person, they use terms such as trotting to explain, like, what they did on the treadmill. This one, guilty, especially in this office. Their office is full of photos of their horse, but there's only one tiny photo of their human family or friends. I have, let's see, a picture of Secretariat, a picture of Seattle Slough. I have a picture that I drew of my horse. I have a picture of Zenyatta in here, and I have one tiny one of my husband in his flight suit. Guilty.
I have Well, I'm looking around. I have all pictures of horses, drawings of some of the Percherons I've owned, collage of a Percheron I owned. And then there's a silhouette of a picture that looks like Jennifer and her horse. And then Minions. I have Minions. So I broke the mold because I do have Minions.
You do. You have cartoon characters, so that's pretty awesome. Horse people never seem to notice the dirt they track through the store when they go grocery shopping after a muddy day at the barn. Guilty. You just...
Oh, I hate that.
You got to go in.
Yeah.
I worked in a store that had to sweep up that dirt. We used to hate that. The people would come in and shop, and then you have to sweep the floor 14 times a day.
Yep. Another one is you know they're a horse person if they walk in to that store or wherever and they have some sort of unidentifiable smear on their shirt, but don't seem to notice. It's always got to be horse snot, right? I mean, the horse just rubs right on your chest. So that's usually me, especially if I'm wearing white to a barn, which is just a bad idea in the first place. But
yeah,
that doesn't
happen.
Idea
to begin with. Yeah, why white breeches became a thing, I don't know. That was somebody in the laundry detergent business that came up with white breeches.
Absolutely. Guilty of this one. If you're riding in their car, you go to get in on the passenger side, but you have to. They make you wait. They're like, hang on a second, and have to reach in and clear the bits, polo wraps, and miscellaneous horse-related items off the passenger seat. Yep, guilty.
If you could fit it all.
Yeah, sometimes you have to kill the water bottles and Gatorade off there, too, but talking about trash some other time. If their kids are running around or kids are running around, obviously they go, whoa, hey, ho. I have realized that I cluck to my child all the time. I cluck to him. And so much so that I'm going to show you a video. He clucks back now. That's his only communication. And it's seriously, and I didn't realize it until I was teaching a riding lesson, and I had him in the little chest thing in front of me called the Bjorn, and I was using Joey, and Joey was very lazy, and I was like, hey, Joey, and little man goes, I was like, oh, my God, my chump clucks, greatest thing ever.
That's his first word.
Basically, I've taken it as his first word. The first thing, if you look at him now, and you go, he just looks at you and goes, smiles and goes, it's awesome. I'm so proud of my son. That's right. Number 14 is they ask if they can leave work early because someone called a farrier is meeting them somewhere. Yeah. I've been that guy. When paying the bill at a restaurant, they pull out spurs, curb straps, and other items out of their purse before they find their debit card. Yeah. Yeah. Or hay. Hay gets in the purse.
Hay, yeah, hay's everywhere.
They can tell you the dates and times of major horse shows and horse races, but they can't tell you, you know, the time of the meeting they're supposed to attend tomorrow for the company. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Rolex, always the weekend before the Derby. I know both at once. Their shopping cart contains, at the grocery store, Epsom salt, iodine, betadine, whatever, diapers, you know, all sorts of things that, of course, you get at the grocery store. And then, of course, the last one is they plan their weekends around horse activities, not social activities. And that is for sure the truth, too. This is, again, 20 ways that you can spot a horse person. Great list on AmericasBestRacing.net.
Hey, that brought up a question that we got on Facebook, and you were talking about the vet or the farrier, you having to leave work early for the farrier. Vicki brought a question up on our Facebook page yesterday. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. She says, what's an acceptable amount of time to wait for the vet before calling? So I assume what she's saying is the vet's late. How long do you wait before you call? So, and there was one answer. I want to read Beverly's answer because I think it was a well-thought-out answer. She said, depends on the problem. Colic, immediately. Wounds needing stitches, needs to be done within a couple hours of inquiry. Lame, make an appointment if you don't know the cause, but when in doubt, call. The vet will determine how emergent it is based on the situation. So, you know, she took it a little different way. You know, I thought that she was saying the vet's late, do I call? And then she was explaining the different reasons you would call a vet. So I don't know how to take that question with Vicki. But let's say the vet's late. Do you call?
Let's see. You know, the times that Jet has colicked, I just like she was saying, I mean, I'm staring at the clock. You know, I mean, you're walking the horse. You're trying to get it from laying down. Every second is critical, at least you think it is. You know, you're like freaking out and walking and trying to keep your horse going. Yeah, you're desperately waiting on that truck to come down the drive. If I have an appointment, you know what my vet does now, and this is great, is her technician drives, and she texts me. We text all the time, like, oh, I'm going to be about 20 minutes late. She'll just text me. And so it's almost like you don't have to worry about it anymore. I figure if she's late and it's just an appointment, you know, I mean, granted, I'm at home, which makes it a little easier, but I'm a little more forgiving. But, you know, they need to keep you abreast of the situation via text or calls or whatever. Have your technician call, have the office call. Hey, they're running late. It's general good manners.
I was trying to remember what we did before cell phones, and you just waited because you couldn't reach them.
I remember the vet would be 3 or 4 hours late, and you just had no clue because, you know, he couldn't contact his office.
Because they didn't know where he was either.
No. Well,
I do remember,
you know,
the vet going in our house to make calls. I do remember that.
Oh, my God, you're right. You're right. Can I use your phone? Oh, I still remember that. Yeah, I got to call the office and tell them I'm leaving here. But, you know, it's just like when my husband is late for work. Like, you have no excuse. You have no excuse for being late and not telling me. Because, well, I was busy, I was at work, and I go, you can go to the bathroom, right? They let you pee. Take your phone into the bathroom and send me a text. It's really not that hard. There's no excuse anymore. Can't get away with anything.
That is true. You know, we sometimes forget what it was like before cell phones. It was really a pain. You really had you communication was not what it was today, that's for sure, because trying to find a payphone was always a feat, because I was running appointments back then. I was a salesperson on the road, so I was going to houses every night, and I'd get lost getting to their house because we didn't have GPSs either. So I'd get lost getting to their house. I'd have to drive back to town, try and find a payphone, call them. By then, I'm an hour and a half late. You know, and then
then
you were getting these directions, because remember, before GPSs, it was these directions. Well, you just drive out and you know, the second to third greenhouse on the left with the little thing out front that looks like a swing, that's where you make the left. And then you get 25 of those landmarks.
You know, and then it became the pager. And when my mom gave me a pager when I was in high school, and she would page you, and you had 5 minutes to call her back or you were grounded. Talk about freaking out. Your pager went off, drive, I need a phone. And you have to go, can I get a quarter? So I started calling her collect, and she stopped paging me so often.
We used to have this system at school, because if we needed a ride home after sports, at the high school was long distance to my house. So you couldn't just put a dime in those days. You couldn't just put a dime in and get home. You had to have like $1.50 worth of change. So instead, we came up with a system. If we call the house, let it ring twice and hang up, and they had the phone number of the payphone, they would call us back, and that's how we would talk. But we had the system, so we didn't have to pay, and you even got your dime back. So it worked out so well.
Do you remember that commercial? That commercial where they're like making a collect call, and there's a man, and he's in the hospital, and he calls his parents, and it's like you have a collect call from, and he goes, "We ought a baby eats a boy," and he hangs up, and the guy's like, "Who is that?" And the woman's like, "Who is that?" And he's like, "They had a baby, it's a boy." We ought a baby eats a boy.
I was basically out calling mom.
We're old. Yeah.
Yes, we are old. Let's take a break for our song. You know, there's a song we play a bit of all the time here on the show. It's called Green on Green. We play usually about 5 seconds of it. But there's a whole song that goes with it. And I thought that, I just thought, well, you know, we haven't played it in a long time. And we have a lot of Marianne Kennedy fans out there. So this is Marianne Kennedy's, the whole version of Green on Green. We'll be back. We have the EquityMSG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge coming up very shortly.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually he'll go up
you come down.
It's when you'll understand this song.
I can't tell you what to do,
but green on green makes black and blue. It's like
walking on a hot fat wire, dynamite too close to fire.
Today you might get off top free, but chances are eventually
you go up, you come down.
That's when you understand this song.
I can't tell you what to do,
but green on green makes black and blue.
Green on Green makes black and blue by Marianne Kennedy. You can find all her songs at MarianneKennedy.com. I don't know why, but that's one of my favorite songs, and it's kind of sick and sadistic to have it my favorite songs, but it is.
You love it. You love it. It's awesome.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. That's Jamie Jennings, and we have Coach Jen in the producer chair here today. And we appreciate that you're here. Good morning. Hope you've had a cup of coffee or two. It looks like Elisa Jennifer is not to be found. She might be off taking care of some Mustangs somewhere.
Yeah.
Not having much luck.
I think she's traveling too, so she could be out of cell range. So we'll get her back because I really want to talk to her. She's going to have an awesome weekend. But I found a list, Glenn, of it makes you realize why anybody would buy a purebred dog. Why? When you can find dogs at shelters that are absolutely hilarious. Obviously, I think everybody should go ahead and spay and neuter. But the Huffington Post had this, and it's Huffington Post mixed breed dogs. These 19 adorably awkward mixed breed dogs will make you love mutts even more. And Jennifer, if we can post a list or post the link, Glenn, maybe you can do it while I start to go over these, because you have to see the pictures. It's going to be cute because the name is, but you have to see the pictures. Am I right here, Glenn? Did you look at this?
Yes, yes, I did.
Oh my god!
What funny looking dog?
The first one is the Pitski. Can you guess what the Pitski is?
Well, it's part pit bull, part husky, something.
Yelp it. Yeah, yep. And you can tell when you look at the face, it's a pit bull nose and eyes and mouth and body with the bright blue eyes and the upright pointy ears of the husky. It's absolutely adorable. Another one is the schnoodle. The schnoodle is, this is a guess, I think, because it's a poodle and a schnauzer.
Oh, there's a combination for you. There's a barky dog. You know, you got a barky poodle and a barky schnauzer, and you put them together, and you have the barkiest dog in the world right there.
It's
I have to say, and I apologize to the schnauzer community ahead of time. My parents had schnauzers, and let's just put it this way. I have three brothers. There's four of us in the family. Nobody will ever own a schnauzer, ever, ever.
Really?
After dealing with my parents' schnauzers. So I apologize. I know there's a lot of beautiful schnauzers out there, and I apologize that just the barkiness is not for me.
Not my favorite. Not my favorite dog. I don't think I would own one. Those are kind of dogs that if they come to your house and they're lost and lonely, you'll do anything to find them a home, but you certainly ain't going to keep them. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know what was so nice is when my mom died, her nurse loved that dog and took it. And I was like, oh, thank God I didn't have to take that dog home. So it worked out beautifully.
Perfect. Perfect. The Puggle, obviously. The Puggle is a pug and beagle.
That's
and
popular,
they kind of become
actually.
Do
yeah,
the other like little
thing.
Designer dogs. And they're
yeah,
really,
they're
really
now.
Cute. And they're really
and
fat,
they're flat,
usually, too.
Mashed nose.
I like this next one. It's the Horgie. The Horgie or Saborgie, other name. And this is a Siberian Husky and a Corgi mixed together. And it is, oh, my gosh, it's one of those dogs with the basset hound legs, with a really long body that's really short. It is adorable, the Horgie. The Pug-a-poo is a pug and poodle. Nobody should do that. Nobody
it's
should do that.
It's one ugly dog.
It is so ugly. Dog. It's adorable. I think my favorite on the list is the Trusky.
Oh, my God.
A Siberian Husky mixed with a Chow makes the roundest, fluffiest Siberian Husky you've ever seen. It is the cutest. It looks like a little Asian dog. I mean, am I right? It's adorable.
You will laugh when you see that one. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It looks like a teddy bear.
It's a teddy bear. Can you imagine shedding season for that dog? Holy cow. Oh, my God, it'd kill you. The Chiweeny is the mixture of Chihuahua and Dachshund, a weenie dog. It's pretty cute. You mix a weenie dog with anything or a corgi with anything.
Speaking of which, have you heard any more about the Chihuahua Mafia that has been roaming the streets of Phoenix, terrorizing the neighbors?
Rampaging the streets of Phoenix is the they're trying to take over. They're like zombies. Trying to take over the world. It is, yeah, no, still haven't heard. It's still going on. They're still trying to catch all the Chihuahuas that are breeding like rabbits and destroying downtown Phoenix or neighborhoods around it. So, no, still no updates, Glenn. Still going
on. Okay, so the Chihuahua Mexican drug lord gang is still on the roam. It's still loose.
Yes. Still smoking cigars and playing dice and, you know, doing all those things that they do. The Corgi Poo is half Corgi, half Toy Poodle. That's a pretty cute dog.
It's kind of cute, pretty, actually. Yes.
The Cyber Poo, which is a Husky Poodle. OMG, adorable.
Oh,
I mean, they're puppies.
That
though.
Is so cute. That is the cutest
and then,
one so far, the Cyber Poo.
The Cyber Poo, yeah, it's adorable. Let's see, another, yeah, this is unfortunate. The Corgi Dalmatian.
Oh, that's bad.
It resembles, oh, it's just, bless its little heart, it's like a little Appaloosa Corgi is what it is. It's crazy. I don't understand this one, but a Yorkie bred with a Westie, and it became the Forchie Terrier. I don't know how they came up with that, but
yeah,
they're puppies, so they're cute and they're little. The Taco Terrier, it's a Chihuahua toy fox. It just looks
that's
like a mutt to me.
Yeah.
My friends actually own this dog. It's the Corman Shepherd. The Corman Shepherd is a Corgi mixed with a German Shepherd, and my friends literally have one of these dogs. That looks it could be this dog in the picture. It is a German Shepherd. I mean, think German Shepherd, like the black on the brown and a tough, big face with tiny little Corgi legs. It's ridiculous. They must all come out like that because they've done the DNA testing, and it was, seriously, Corgi German Shepherd. It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did the DNA test. It was basically, it had like 2% of other strains, but it was a Corgi German Shepherd, 50-50 almost. Then they've got the Golden Dachs, which is a dachshund, a weenie dog with a golden retriever. That's pretty cute.
Dachshunds are very popular on this list, I've noticed.
Probably because they get around. That seems to be the general theme. The Alesky, this is a gorgeous dog. I mean, it's a husky Malamute, so of course it's going to be pretty and it needs to live in snow. The Jackeranian, which is a Pomeranian Jack Russell, and the Cheagle, which is a Chihuahua Beagle. The Yorkie Poo, which is kind of a designer dog, Yorkie and Poodle. We're going to, again, put these on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. There's just a random mixture on the Chihuahua, Jack Russell, Papillon.
Oh,
and,
that thing was possessed.
It's pretty awful looking. We're going to put these on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Just go check it out. Again, it's on the Huffington Post. It is 19 dogs. Let me get to the top here. 19 adorably awkward mixed breed dogs that will make you love Mutt even more. It is true. I'm going to have to get a Pitsky now. Or the Chihuahua Chow.
You're going to have to get rid of a few of the ones you already have first.
But, no problem. Done.
Let's do this because it's that time of the week when we have a little fun and we play a little fiddle.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we do the Equity Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and we have a true celebrity with us here this morning, somebody that's a lot of fun, I've known for years, good friend of the Horse Radio Network, and has a lot of followers all over the world. Of course, she's a clinician, she's a rider, she's a competitor, and she's a lot of fun. Julie Goodnight, good morning.
Good morning, Glenn. What a lead-in.
Yeah, you like that lead-in?
I don't know about all that, but one thing I am not is unsuspecting.
Well, Jennifer makes up the question, so you can blame her when you get asked these questions, okay? It's not my fault, and it's not Jamie's fault. We just do what we're told.
Me too.
Julie, it's so good to have you on. You're such a good sport, and I really appreciate you being here. You know, before we get started, this spot is sponsored by Equity, who, of course, makes the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. We all use them here at the Horses in the Morning Show and the Horse Radio Network. We love ours. But then I found out that you also have one of the forks. Tell us about it.
Yes, I'm a firm believer and a follower of the Flex and Fork. I've never used the shaking one, but once I got my hands on the flexing fork, which I've used for, 4 or 5 years now since I first came out, we don't use anything else here. There's nothing comparable on the market in terms of durability. I've still got the original one I had. They just can't be broken. Horses can kick and stomp on them, stand on them. Your workers can beat them against the wall, but they will not break, which I just love.
Are your workers that frustrated, Julie, that they tend to want to beat this?
Yeah, I'll tell you. When it's about 10 below zero and the things you're raking up are frozen solid like rocks, then they can take a little abuse.
They are. They're really tough. You know, Joseph, who makes them and designs them and owns Equity, hates it when we say that they're indestructible because he says they can be broken. He has seen on occasion them broken. We have tried. Jamie's run hers over with a gator, and they just don't break. And the other thing, you talk about cleaning up poopy paddocks that are frozen. With those other cheapy ones, you'll go to clean a poop pile, and you always get that flicking thing where it flicks up and hits you in the face with the cheapy ones.
Yeah.
That never happens because these actually have a suspension system built into them, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, the design is ingenious, and it's you know, there's benefits beyond just the durability. They're just easier to use and stronger, and the angle of the handle and everything is just right. So they're real, you know, for a pooper scooper, they are really well engineered.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is true. You can find yours at equitymfg.com, equitymfg.com. If you're going to listen on Friday morning, Joseph from Equity sent me a video that we're going to play on Friday morning for you of how the scientific method in which he tests these forks for durability, and I think you're all going to be truly amazed. That's coming up on Friday's show. Thank you, Julie, for that. We appreciate it. Now, what is going on in your life? We had you on last week here or 2 weeks ago talking about cantering and things like that, but you're at the beginning of travel season, and do you record a bunch of new shows for RFD now, or what happens?
Yes, I enjoyed a little bit of extra time at home in this month in February, but starting this weekend, I head to a horse expo in Montgomery, Alabama, and then I'll pretty much be on the road every week from now until the end of the June, going somewhere. But we'll be filming the TV show the second week of March in Tucson, Arizona. So really looking forward. We go to a beautiful guest ranch down there called the White Stallion Ranch, and it's in the amidst the beautiful saguaro cactus forests and all of that. So I'm really looking forward to that. Some warm weather and beautiful scenery, and we'll have fun shooting about 8 episodes of the TV show as well.
Terrific. And, of course, you can find the TV show on RFD. What is the prize that you have agreed to offer up today?
The prize I'm offering up is my new video, just hot off the press, actually last week. It just came in. It's called Stress-Free Trailering, and it's an A to Z video on horse trailering, everything from hitching up to safety to preparing your trailer, preparing your horse, training your horse to load in the trailer, training your horse to unload. And best of all, I think probably one of the most popular sections of the video is going to be driving a horse trailer, in particular how to back one up and park it. So a bunch of my friends have been guinea pigs for me and letting me help them teach them how to back up. And so we're going to start a new wave in the industry of women not afraid to back their trailers up.
One quick question. At the beginning of this DVD, does it explain how to politely get rid of the know-it-all guy who comes over and wants to help you load your horse?
Amen.
There might be some brief allusions to that, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, is there a way to gently tell your husband to get out of the driver's seat and let you do it?
No, that secret I have not discovered yet.
Okay, that's what I need.
In spite of the fact that I've driven horse trailers for 40 years, and my husband's only driven them for about 5, he still thinks he is eminently better suited to drive a loaded horse trailer than I am.
Right? What is that?
Really, I'm glad to see you have that problem, too. People would think you don't have that problem, you know?
No, it's not my problem, is what I'll say.
Okay, good. Well, if you can't figure it out, then I'm just going to have to let it go for a while. If you do figure out a way to tell your husband to get the hell out of the driver's seat, then just tell me, because I need that information.
Yeah, that could be worth a lot.
I know.
Real quick, know. Julie, what charity are you playing for today? If you win, the prizes will go to?
The Urban Farm in Denver, Colorado. It's one of my favorite nonprofits in the horse industry. They provide riding and rural farm experiences for inner city youth, and it's a really fun place that gives kids that would never, ever have access to riding a chance to be with horses and learn and grow.
Very good. Thank you for that. And, of course, we're going to throw in another prize, too, from Horse Grooming Solutions, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solution brand you've come to know and love. Healthy hair care, go to number one by horse health brand by consumers, Silverado, Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack store or feed supplier or online at horsegroomingsolutions.com. So we have lots of great prizes. For our competitor, Janie.
Absolutely. Our competitor is Leisha Davis from, she's going to have to help me, Clackamas, Oregon? Lisa, how do you say
Clackamas.
That?
Clackamas. Yeah, Clackamas, Oregon.
just Julie, you want to introduce her? That'd be great. Well, Alicia, hello.
A weird name town.
Do you really? Well, thank you for joining us from Clackamas, Oregon. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to our show, and you signed up to be a part of this. And how excited were you when you found out you were going to be competing against one Julie Goodnight?
I was very excited and then worried I needed to start studying.
Don't worry, I'm not very good at trivia, so the playing field is level.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do, Julie, is just try to keep the playing field level. But, yeah, I would imagine that when you find out you're playing one Julie Goodnight, you probably get a little nervous, Leisha, and that's what I was kind of thinking. So tell us, you are a rider. What type of riding do? Do you own a horse? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a true all-around rider. I love just about every event. I've competed in almost every event except for eventing.
Come on now.
Well, about 5 years ago, I would have called myself an advanced rider. I actually had one horse I was about ready to hit the pro barrel racing circuit on. I was also on the USA Dive team at the time, one of the USA Dive teams, and an accident happened while at practice, and I hit my head. I got a brain injury and a broken neck. So
last five years,
I've spent relearning how to use my body. So now I'm trying to relearn how to remember how I trained my horse. So I'm doing really, really, really well, but I'm like a complete different rider, so I have to start all over again.
This DVD would actually be great for you. You have to relearn how to do everything. You can learn how to drive a trailer. Julie, no pressure to let her win or anything, whatever.
Wow, that's a tough road to hoe, Alicia. I know my son suffered from a very severe TBI, and I know how it's a long, long recovery, but it's amazing how the brain can heal.
Oh, definitely, and I remember seeing a post you had about when you were asking people about filming for the Tucson thing, and I almost applied, but I didn't think I could actually get to Tucson. And I remember you had posted some about your friend, how she actually did a few episodes with you, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I could totally use your help.
Yeah, well, I wish you could come.
Well, that's really cool that we ended up getting a fan of yours on, and it was a randomly drawn name as well. So that actually, good job, Glenn.
Well, I had nothing to do with it.
You drew the name.
Good luck.
Is great. So good luck to both of you. This is how this works, is I'm going to ask Leisha a question, and then we'll go to Julie, and we'll go back and forth. And if you do have a tie, we do have a tiebreaker, and we'll get to that if need be. Okay, sound good?
Yep.
All right.
All right, here is what happens if you answer it incorrectly. The high school basketball buzzer from your old days at high school. And if you get it correctly, you get to tell. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Leisha, your first question is, starting out easy, what network is Julie's TV show Horse Master with Julie Goodnight on?
RFD TV?
Yay! That is correct. Congratulations. 1-0. 1-0.
Oh,
I think this
God.
I know,
can
it's a little challenging.
Can you ask me that question, too?
Yeah, good luck. Yours are going to be a little harder. Name the New Mexico track where the All-American Futurity has been run since 1959.
Rue des Sodoms.
Oh, you got it.
I
wasn't there. My brother lives in Rodoso, and I used to ride racehorses in New Mexico, so that was. I appreciate that easy question.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer designs these questions for you, but, you know, it's good. So we start out easy. Now we're going to go back to Leisha. Leisha, question number two is multiple choice. So wait until I finish asking and giving you all the choices before you answer. Which of the following is a good way to judge correct fit of the throat latch? Is it A, the width of your hand, B, the same as the bit width, or C, touching the horse's windpipe?
I always went with two fingers. So,
the throat latch. Do you want the choices again?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the throat latch, the width of your hand, the same as the bit width, or touching the horse's windpipe.
Go with touching the horse's windpipe.
I got to give her partial credit for that, because the width of your hand, when you stick your hand in between the throat latch, you touch their windpipe, right? You touch their throat,
yeah.
So it's kind of correct.
Well,
I have to
be on Lisa's side there, because they really, none of them were really a good choice.
Oh, Jennifer, they're picking on your questions.
Uh-oh, I may regret that later.
He writes our check, Julie.
Yeah, careful. The next one is for Julie. Julie, what was Walt Disney's favorite horse sport? Multiple choice. Is it A, thoroughbred racing, B, show jumping, or C, polo? Walt Disney's favorite sport.
Wow.
Hold on. That was an accident. Sorry. That was an accident.
Well, it might have been a very fortuitous one, because I'm totally guessing here. I have no idea. I'm going to go with polo.
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah.
Very good. That answer is correct. And according to Julie, it is currently tied 2-2 because she didn't like Leisha's second question. So it's tied. Up to you, Leisha. We are going question number 3 and your final question. In what year did the Girls Rodeo Association, founded in 1948, change its name to the Women's Professional Rodeo Association? I'm going to give you a 10-year window. So it was founded in 48, and it changed its name to the Women's Professional Rodeo Association. What year did that happen?
Ooh, I should know this. I'm going to go with 70s.
Give me a year. 70 what?
Oh, 1972.
Oh, that's correct, then.
Was it actually 1972?
No, you're way off. You're way off. But it was 1981, which is within 10 years. So I was giving you a 10-year window. So 1981.
Thank you.
I was like, please don't say
70. It was somewhere around there.
Good job.
Now, Julie, I'm going to ask you a question, and you do not get a 10-year window, okay?
Uh-oh.
You just have to get it. Okay. Please get this right. Oh, God. In what year was RFD TV launched?
Oh, let me think here.
I'll give you a couple years now.
Wait, what year is this? 2014. I'm going to say, must have been around 2000.
Go with that.
2000, yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
You
oh, good.
Nailed it. Very, very
good.
Impressive. And
yeah,
you're
that's
on that
good
network.
Because, yeah, the executives mm-hmm. were about ready to cancel her show if she got that wrong. So,
well, actually, I started thinking about how long my show's been on, which is 7 years. And then my friend Ken McNabb, he was on 4 years before me. So that was my thought process of coming up with 2000.
That is awesome. I'm so glad you came up with that. I definitely am a DVRer of your show, and I do love your show, and I'm glad it's been on that long, and I hope it continues for a very long time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The tiebreaker question. You are going to yell out your name as your buzzer, okay? I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to throw it out. Leisha, if you know the answer, don't just yell out the answer and say, Leisha. because we can't tell y'all's voices apart sometimes, and I don't know who wins. So, Julie, if you think you know it, yell out Julie, and you can just yell it out as seen fit, okay? There's no – I'm asking the question. I've got a couple bullet points. Once you know it, yell it out. Yell out your name. Okay. Are you guys – you understand? Are we clear?
Got it.
Yes.
All right. This 2004 film starred Viggo Mortensen – as Army Lieutenant Frank Hopkins.
Leisha.
Leisha, what is your answer?
Hidalgo?
That's right.
Oh, no, that's
that is correct. I'm sorry.
Horse trivia I can handle, but when you get into movie stars, I'm totally lost.
It is a horse movie. Yes, it features Frank Hopkins riding a paint Mustang, Hidalgo, a great movie. If nobody's seen it, Julia, put that on your Netflix queue, if you will, if you haven't seen it. Viggo Mortensen on a horse is just something every girl needs to see. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Married, single, whatever.
Okay.
Just fuck it.
Well, congratulations.
Yes,
Leisha,
congratulations.
Yay.
You are the winner.
Yay.
Good job. So, Leisha, you get the stress-free trailering DVD by Julie. Julie will get you her address and make sure you can get that out to her. But, Leisha, you also win the Horse Grooming Solutions tote filled with over $100 worth of products. So as you're getting more back into riding here, you're going to have something to clean those babies up with. So congratulations.
The horses are going to love you, guys.
Well, and Leisha, hold
Julie,
on.
Julie, can you give the website for your charity so if our listeners would like to make a donation or get more involved with that, they can find out how to find more information?
Sure. It's called The Urban Farm, and it's in Denver, Colorado. It's a very unique program. I'm trying to look up there. It's just theurbanfarm.org. is the website,
okay.
And it's a great program. It's the only place I know of where I can walk into and see a barn full of kids with faces of every race and persuasion you can imagine, and I just love that.
Well, we have posted it on our Facebook page, and Julie, thank you for being involved with them and helping them out and for joining us and taking on Leisha and being a good sport about it. We can't thank you enough, and we're all huge fans of your show, and we will post links and everything to anything people want to know about you, and we always love having you as a guest, and we sure do appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, thank you. It was a fun way to start the day, and congratulations, Leisha.
Well,
good
hold
job,
on,
Julie.
We're going to get you some information, or I think Jennifer's got to talk to you. So both you guys hold on and have a great day. Thank you.
Actually, Julie,
bye.
You can go ahead and hang up. We'll get back to you with Leisha's information.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, Julie.
Yeah,
I don't, bye-bye. I don't know how the details work, Glenn. I just tell everybody to hold on. That's what they do in real radio. They're like, okay, thank you very much. Hold on for your prize.
Hold on.
Get your information.
Jennifer, if you could make sure we have Leisha's correct address, that would be terrific. Well, Julie's a lot of fun, isn't she? She's just a trip.
Oh, my gosh. I love her. I do. I love her. And I've actually – you know how often I listen to our show, which is never? I did download where she was talking about flying lead changes from last week. So I've still got yet to listen to it because the baby kind of screws up my schedule. But I can't wait to listen to that one.
I think you're going to enjoy that. She really did do a good job of explaining it. And that I think you'll enjoy that whole episode, actually. We had an eventer on before that, too. So eventer out of Texas, a guy eventer out of Texas. So there you go. That's something you don't hear too often.
That's true. That is true.
That is not common. Well, that is it for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you're joining us for the first time, we picked up a lot of new listeners on our Facebook page. We know a lot of you are trying out the show. What we say is give us a week. You'll learn to enjoy it after the week. We are not your typical horse show that is on, that is on the radio. A lot of them are more serious than us. We are meant to be morning radio. We are meant to be your alternative to morning radio. just like you would hear in your car, only we talk about horse stuff and have a little fun along the way. So that's what I would say to that, and you can listen to our show, the recorded version, on our app. Just go to the iOS or Android app store and search for Horse Radio Network. All 11 of our shows are listed on there, and you can listen to them any single time you want to. It's probably the easiest, freest, and best way to listen to our shows. And you can also, we don't mention this very often, follow us on Twitter. We have a lot of followers over there at Horse Radio. You started Twitter a while back. Did you ever continue with it, or do you ever post anything?
No. You know, and my mom called me. She's like, I'm tweeting now. And I was like, what? And she goes, I don't understand. When I post tweets, where do they go? And I said, well, how many followers do you have, Mom?
That is a good question.
Yeah. And I said, how many followers do you have? She's like, what's a follower? So she has zero. I said, Mom, you're tweeting and nobody's listening. It's like you're hollering in the forest and nobody's here. Nobody can hear you. I'm like, I'm sorry, your tweets are going unknown, and I'm not getting back on Twitter to follow my mother. It's just not going to happen. So there you go. Everybody have a great day. Spay,
hey, wait a minute.
Neuter, gel.
Wait a minute. You can't go yet. We have to mention that you have to get your ads in for Really Bad Ads on Friday. We'll have some terrific prizes, so get them in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And I am able to announce who next week's celebrity is going to be. So I wanted to make sure that everybody knew, and you're going to be excited about this. If you were to pick one of the most popular grooms in the world who worked with one of the most popular ponies in the world, who would you guess?
Oh, my God. Is this Karen O'Connor's groom?
Max Cochran.
Oh, my God. How awesome.
Max Cochran is the celebrity for next week. She will be here. So if you want to play, you got to get signed up to be in the pool so we can have a chance of picking your name like we did with lovely Alicia. So go on our website, horsesinthemorning.com, the big banner in the middle of the page. It takes 30 seconds to sign up, and you'll have a chance to play against Max Cochran in the Celebrity Trivia Challenge next week. And Max, if you haven't heard Max or, you know, got to spend a lot of time around her, she is a hoot. So she'll be a lot of fun with this.
She awesome. Really, that's going to be fun. That'll be next Wednesday. Everybody have a great day. Hump day. Bay, neuter, and gill.